Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I am your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net and click on our contact page, and it will direct you to the various means we have for you to contact us. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes. And if you don't have iTunes, share us with a friend. You can share us on your Facebook page or your Twitter account. Okay, thank you for joining us today. We are discussing the Vikings season finale, season 2, episode 10, The Lord's Prayer. Any thoughts before we get started on the recap?
Happy face, smiley face.
Yeah, bittersweet.
Yep. Great, great episode, but I'm sad that it's over.
I know. Gotta wait a year.
I know.
Start counting now.
Well, thankfully we're going to be doing the season 1 recap to kind
of that'll be awesome.
Yeah,
get us by for a little while.
It'll tide us over for, what, 9, 10 weeks?
Yeah.
But it's back to the waiting. But this was an awesome episode.
Yeah.
Really, really delivered.
And it had a lot of surprises in it. You know, it wasn't,
oh, they kept
you
guessing.
I expect this to happen. I expect this to happen. It really kept you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, I mean, the bittersweetness is exactly what you want out of a season finale. You want to, you know, have it where it's a sweet ending, but then you're sad because it's over.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was directed by Ken Garrody again, obviously written by Michael Hirst. And I just, when the opening credits were playing and the first line is more, give me more. I'm like, yes, give me more. But we have to wait.
Yeah.
I know they could have pulled out a 2-hour episode for us on this one. You know, I don't
awesome.
Know what they would have filled in everything with, because the story was pretty seamless.
They could have blood eagled his whole family.
Yeah. There's an idea.
Flock of eagles.
Oh, God. How long have you been waiting to say that?
No, it just came up. It just struck me. I was like, hey, that works.
Oh, ran so far away.
Is a group of eagles called a flock?
I don't think so.
Why not?
It's a
flock of birds.
Every group of animals has their own name for their group.
Well, they're birds.
You have a gaggle of geese. You have a parliament of rooks. You have
murder of crows.
So eagles, I'm sure they have their own. I don't know what it is, but they have their own name.
Flock of eagles.
Okay. This episode opens with Helga arriving in Kattegat with her baby girl in arms. She is looking for Floki since he has not bothered to come home yet. She introduces him to the baby. He tells her to take the baby back home and he wants to name the baby after Loki's first wife. She's disturbed by this and asks him to come home. He says he has to stay and she has to leave.
I think we should mention also that he was sleeping when she came up. She, not only had he not bothered to go see her, but he was just taking a nap, one of those kind of like, this looks like a good spot type deals.
Yeah, we haven't had an outdoor nap since Rolo at the beginning of the season.
That's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The outdoor nap is back. I like that concept, because I'm a napper. I take
yeah,
naps,
but do so. You think that there's a respect for everybody in the village? Like when you're walking around and you see someone taking a nap, is everybody like, shh, fuckies are
just
lying down taking a
quietly.
Nap? You know, or is it just like, ah...
I don't know, because you could see people in the background going about their daily routine, swooping stuff and gutting fish
so
and doing
just
whatever
one of those
they
things.
Did. It's like if you're going to sleep...
gutting fish and flinging.
Yeah, yeah. It's like if you get dirty, if you get stepped on, if you get woke up, that's your bed. You should just, you know, pick a better spot.
Yeah.
But being a
napper.
You know, a napper myself, a pretty... a lifelong napper. I like the representation of napping in a historical sense. Yeah, I'm being serious.
No, absolutely.
I like the fact that, you know, maybe it's just vindication on my part because I don't feel like a lazy bastard because I'm like, these guys are Vikings. They go and conquer other lands, but they still take naps.
Well, I can't think of another show they do it, so it is a first, you know.
I don't know. I wonder if they just decided it was going to be the characteristic of the show, just like the whole baby goat thing at the beginning, or... Or if it's actually historically accurate that they just did that slip.
Freedom.
I mean, in the cold terrain of Scandinavia, just sleep outside.
Well, it's what you're acclimated to,
you
know, because when you live up in those climes, your blood gets a little bit thicker, from what I understand. I don't know if that's medically, technically correct, but, you know, I know that it's very hard for people who live in northern climates, even in America, to come down south.
Mm-hmm.
It takes them a while to get acclimated because they're...
We've experienced that.
Yeah, blood is thicker. And... After a while, you know, it thins out and you're like, okay, it's just hot outside. But at first, you're like, this is ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, that first bit of humidity can be rough.
So do you think that he's being so off-putting towards her because it's the writers trying to, you know, just another stab at the audience to try to convince them that Loki has turned to the dark side?
But then he also knows some shit's about to happen, mm-hmm. so he wants her out of town.
That's true, yeah. He is looking after the family.
Mm-hmm.
So next we have the arrival of King Horik's family. The town of Kattegat gathered to receive them, and everything seems all friendly.
Ragnar's got a poor poker face. Through all these scenes, he's got like this blank stare like, what? Yeah, you're great. Your family's here. He doesn't smile. He doesn't enjoy the party. It's just like a blank stare that he keeps giving him.
How much did he talk in this episode?
He didn't.
Did he not say anything?
He didn't say it. He screamed, but he did not talk, not once.
He got the roll of script from last week.
Yeah, he got the roll. He tapped the director and be like, I need some of that.
Sweet. But he's such a great actor that he doesn't, you know, his mannerisms and everything, they're fantastic. He doesn't need to say anything.
Nicky, he can say more with a look mm-hmm. than most people can with a
stare. Oh, yeah, like the stare at the end, that was just gnarly.
So celebration later in the hall, not really too much later, it's just right after the arrival. And then King Horik presents his wife and children to Ragnar and his people. King Horik claims that he sees Ragnar as an equal. He talks of land and opportunity in Wessex. He proposes the idea of a marriage alliance.
Because he has, Ragnar has many sons and he has many daughters.
Yes.
And everybody just kind of laughs politely at it. But they're like, yeah, they're all like 6 and 7. That's gross.
Mm-hmm. You see Torstein all like laughing and then Ragnar turns to look at him. He like kind of turns down the laughter. Like, ha, 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 ha.
You're overselling it.
So now it's time to feast. Gunnhild, King Horik's wife, introduces herself to Lagertha. Gunnhild is a formidable shield maiden in her own right, apparently. And she asks Lagertha how she became Earl. And it's because Lagertha's husband invaded her.
And she killed him for it.
Yes.
What's her name? Brumhild?
Gunnhild.
Gunnhild. I'm always thinking of Hagar the Horrible.
Yeah.
Brumhild. But she's an interesting character because she looks like Lagertha. You know, if you were to advance her 20, 30 years or something like that, she could, you know, she's a handsome woman. She's not beautiful in like a conventional sense, but she has that like proud and
she looks
look.
Strong as hell too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She's really thick.
Which we see later, she is a formidable fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But
not formidable enough.
Mm-hmm.
So King Horik approaches Floki. He tells Floki he is not sure if he can trust him. This seems to upset Floki, and Ragnar is watching. I think this is where they've got
and
you on your
toes. And
then
he smiles, yeah, because he's like, meh, you know?
Yeah, Ragnar smiles, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So now when you watched it the second time, or even the third time,
mm-hmm.
did you, like, kind of see at that point how it's like, oh, it's obvious?
Yeah, well, honestly, when I was watching it the first time, I was kind of onto it, just because I've been thinking about it. But I liked watching it again so I can see if it actually all still made sense in multiple ways. Like, mm-hmm. even if, like, you know, we talked about Helga, like him telling her to get out of town.
Right.
And there's some other things that come up later we can talk about. But it makes sense on multiple levels, which I appreciated. So cool. There was nothing put in there just to trick us, and that's the only way it worked. You know what I mean? That was the only reason why it was in there, mm-hmm. which is good. Because
it had me sold.
If you go back and watch again, you find that's annoying. You know?
It is,
and
It makes you feel like it's a cheap trick.
Right, and there was, as far as I could tell,
I guess that's what
it.
I was asking. Yeah. Thanks for extrapolating it like that, because I didn't say it like that, but I was, that's the, what, English much? That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, that's, I as far as I remember, I didn't detect any cheap tricks.
But those smiles that Ragnar comes up with, they're just great.
They're fantastic.
If I'm pretty happy with myself as a person. I think I could always grow and be better. But if I could have half the confidence that this guy has,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, that would be just awesome.
You'd be on top of the world like he is at the end of the episode.
I guess so, yeah. Literally almost. They're like just up there on a
top of the world.
Yeah. But we'll get to that.
Okay, so Bjorn and Thorin. He does say Thorin, right?
It sounds like it to me.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with Thorin because the actual writing, when you look at it in writing, it just looks so weird. So
if she has a shield made out of oak, will she be Thorin Oak?
Only a little bit prettier. Just a little bit.
And a little bit taller.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Okay, so Bjorn and Thorin, they talk. She appreciates him, but she kind of breaks up with him. kind of. And then he tells her there are plenty of other women here. And she says, that is your first mistake, and leaves him. And he's left confused. And I thought it was hilarious that you told him, like, don't even bother to figure it out. Because that's seriously what is going on. Like,
absolutely. Well, every guy's gone through that at one point with his girlfriend or wife or somebody. It's, you just can't.
It's those crappy head games where they test you and they just, like, they have the correct answer to the puzzle in their head, mm-hmm. but they haven't even given you the question.
Yeah. Well, so it's women like, are more complex than us. You know, we're just pretty straightforward in the way we think, you know, so.
Yeah.
Don't figure it out.
It's a charitable way to put it, but I'll go with that.
What was that comedian's name? It just makes me think of that.
What?
That Whitney Cummings, her.
And she's talking about how, like, when we're arguing with you. You know, we start the argument halfway through. You know what I mean? We've already had, like, the other half of the argument, and we just come into the second half and start it with you, basically. Yeah. You know, so you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? What did I do?
Oh, yeah.
I've already started this argument with you hours ago, and you weren't even part of it, so.
So, but she's kind of, like, saying that now she has a choice. So she's going to do, you know, she mm-hmm. wants to.
Work for it a little bit.
I thought what she was like, she was just telling him, don't assume that I'm going to be with you. I'm a free woman. I can choose what mm-hmm. I want to do. You kind of have to prove yourself as being worthy of that choice.
Yeah, and if he really cares about her, he'd let her go figure yeah. that shit out. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, she's right. She lived as a slave. You know?
Yeah, well, you got to think, too. He's kind of put some time and effort into this already. He could have just taken her. Yeah, but if he had listened to Rollo, he could have just taken her as a slave. He showed nothing but respect and care for her
and
this
whole
time.
And she's supposed to appreciate him for that.
Well, yeah.
No, what I think she should appreciate is the fact that he's young and he's in love. And it's like, okay, yeah, I appreciate the fact that you have choice and you want to go do what you're going to do. But he's still a young man. He doesn't want her choice, quote unquote, to be going off and screwing some other Viking, you know, while she's figuring out what she wants to do because he's not courting anybody else.
I just think he's put some time in already and he's given her nothing but if he didn't give her any respect, then it would be different. But I think he's shown nothing but respect for her, you know, but. Like I said, we're trying to figure it out, and even, you know, it's even us, it's
this just comes.
I think she just needed some space, and he fucked up. So.
I think she needed some some rolling around and punching each other time.
Well, yeah.
She liked it. It's weird.
She's discovering her sexuality.
This is just a gender divide thing, you know.
His parents did it. Yeah. Beat each other up, then have sex.
True. Well, I'm not talking
about
that.
They're no longer together, though.
I'm talking about the whole decision thing, you know, like the choices and whatever. I think it comes down to a gender thing, you know. But. Yeah.
So, anyway, Floki reproaches Torstein for his amorous engagements. Any thoughts on that?
Do you feel like he was reproaching him for that?
Yeah.
Like now he's like family man and, you know.
I think Floki, yeah, he was just like, the only reason why they're with you is because you're a silver pouch, you know, and he's like, I don't care. They're making me happy. And then when he walks away, Floki has a look on his face. It just made me think of Floki's really religious nature. And I don't necessarily know. I mean, obviously, I don't know a lot about the Norse religion, and it probably doesn't have any strictures upon sexuality. But it just reminded me of his rigidness about certain things. The way
we never
kind of
saw
responded.
Floki with another woman besides Helga.
No, and he did, you know.
So you think Floki would be considered a priest?
Just a very strong advocate. I don't know.
I think
maybe he's the closest analog that they have mm-hmm. to yeah. something like a priest because they kind of pit him against Athelstan.
Mm-hmm. And we have a seer, but not really a priest. You know,
yeah.
he's just a
yeah. There doesn't seem to be much holy about the seer.
Mm-mm.
You know, and the show's based on I think a lot of their religion because you see a lot of Catholicism in England and we see the structure with the bishops and you know even Athelstan. So. And I was thinking about this the other night. Do you think, I mean, he just seems like he would be the priest out of the group. It's a, I don't want to say a violent religion, but.
I think
you know.
You're right, because he is the one who carries the doctrines of the gods closest to his mm-hmm. heart. And he is the one, like in this scene, reminding other people of when
checking
they're kind
them.
Of like
mm-hmm.
straying from that. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's a good observation.
Yeah.
But Torstein, you know.
It is what it is with him.
Why Floki reproaches him, I don't know. But I do think he is being, you know.
Well, this is either a face value scene to show you something about Floki, or it's to set up what's coming next.
Yeah.
Or just to
get you to like Torstein, so you're like, oh, man, he's yeah. dead.
Yeah.
You know, even though you already like him anyway. But anyway, so next, Hort gives Siggy the diss off.
Ooh, my wife and kids are here. You need to back it up.
You better not be touching me like that. She all... comes up. Like, she knows his wife's there. Why would she do that?
It beats me. Mm-hmm.
This is Ziggy Stardust, though. You know, she's never been.
And ever since you started calling her that, I could see her in, like, a pair of jeans and, like, an old, like, Wasp 80s t-shirt. You know, she's got the hairdo of an 80s girl, so. I just imagine her in, you know, the
front row of a Judas 80s. Priest concert. Yes, exactly. Barking up the wrong tree.
Yes.
Rob Halford's like, I suck pole, girl.
Read the lyrics to Living After Midnight.
He puts a stop to her quick, though. I mean, it was cold and direct.
They just walked this away.
Is where, when she came up and touched him like that, that's when I was like, yeah, she's working for Ragnar. That's just confirmed
really?
It. I did, because it was just so, she was laying it on too thick, I thought, at that
point. See, I'm gullible. I thought it was, man, she's just trying.
That's what I was like, she Rolo's knows his wife's up. There.
Yeah, but she doesn't care. Rolo's been around this entire time, and she's been banging the guy.
I just think there would have been more subtlety to it. There should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't think she's been working with him this whole time. I took this episode as she made the decision at the end. Like, all the way up to the point to where he gave her the knife, that's when she made the decision to tell Ragnar what was going on. I really do. I think that's when she made the turn, because if she's been working with Ragnar this whole time, then why wouldn't Ragnar tell his brother and not let him almost choke her out during sex? You know what I mean?
Well, when we get to the scene with her and Rolo, we can.
No, it's cool. We'll get to it.
There's just something about that makes me think that she's already made up her mind before then. Also, I think, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but I think the precedent has been set for leaving certain people out of the loop, because you had that conversation between Bjorn and Ragnar when Bjorn's like, why was I left out of the loop? Mm-hmm. And so Ragnar has no problem doing that to protect people, possibly. Mm-hmm. And I think Rolo has been left out of the loop. Not always.
Well,
but
he can't be trusted. We figured that out a long time ago. That's why Floki didn't tell his wife about Ragnar. That protector.
Oh, man, I hope they have a scene though in the next season that she's like, "What the
bitch?
Fuck?
Wow! Do I have to name my daughter that?"
You were just lying like you were about everything else, right? I'm gonna chalk it up to that. So, did you have any thoughts on that, Steve?
I'm not really sure what Stardust's motives were at that time. I can't really say one way or another, because I'm kind of divided. She could either be playing the part, or she could either be trying to honestly get something from him. I'm not really sure where she's at, so I'm just going to just say it could go either way.
Maybe they'll tell us next season.
Nah.
So Floki is still antagonizing Athelstan. Now this, I think, is all in truth. Like, I do not think this is a front.
That's really him there.
Yeah, definitely.
And he tells Athelstan he betrayed the gods, that he betrayed all of them, and that it's his fault that Rolo is going to die. And this makes Athelstan nauseous, and he walks away.
I think it's interesting that he doesn't put up a fight. Athelstan doesn't put up a fight.
He thinks there's some truth to it. That's why he gets nauseous. And
well, has he ever fought back, though, with Floki?
Yeah, he's been
always kind of taking the high road, hasn't he?
He's given him a little bit of pushback earlier in the season before they went back over to England.
Okay. I don't remember.
Yeah, a little bit, but yeah, he does always take the high road, I guess you could call it that.
He should have just looked at Floki and taken his thumb and smudged his makeup and walked off. There you go.
I've always wanted to do that.
Well, I think before, whenever Floki called him priest in a really derisive tone, I think Athelstan was like, I'm not a priest anymore. You know, I've accepted your gods. But now, after everything that's happened, he can't really come back with that retort anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's some truth to it. So he just has to swallow it and walk away.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So now Floki sits, King Horik approaches him again, and he says he needs proof of trust, and he wants him to kill someone who matters. And then King Horik turns and watches Ragnar sit on his throne, which is kind of funny, because
he like sits on a cup, he looks kind of buzzed.
Then the cup he has that he sat on, he's like looking at it to see if there's any more alcohol in it.
Then he tosses it, and Floki starts to watch Auslaug. Like, they're thinking, or trying to make us think that he's maybe thinking she'll be the one.
Oh, yeah, they go through a bit of a gambit of characters, one after another, to make you think that
Yeah, who's it going to be?
They also try to make you think in the scene that, like, King Horik has it all together and he's being the puppet master. Mm-hmm. And he's playing everybody. Oh, and then they show Ragnar as contrast and he's just kind of, like, drunkly fumbling into his chair. And he's, unaware. Like, blissfully unaware. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I wonder if that was really the state he was in or if he was also pretending to make it look like...
I think he was probably buzzed, but I think he was probably hamming it up a little just to seem like, I'm not a threat. I'm just the Earl sitting on his throne.
I'm going to be drunk, blacked out tonight, so do what you want to Kattegat. So the men are shitting coins. King Horik watches from a distance. Floki does not let up being a dick to Athelstan. King Horik again talks to Floki. Has Floki made up his mind, he wonders. And Floki says yes, he knows who he will kill. And he's in there rubbing his sword.
And he looks at him as he's walking away. He looks at his back. Yeah. So that could be seen as like, I'm not going to do it, but it's going to be you.
So King Horik, next scene, Floki is gathering mushrooms. Now the first one he picks, he doesn't even use later.
I couldn't see which mushrooms he was grabbing. I mean,
he was sniffing them and then discarding them, some of them, right?
Yeah.
Or at least the first one.
Didn't he keep it?
I'm not sure.
Doesn't matter. But yeah, the first one was more of like a rounded head, and then the other one had that stalky type, which both of them that he gave away looked exactly alike.
The same, yeah.
So, but what Rolla was given, I think, was the berserker mushrooms. And then Torstein was given something else. And I think he gave it to Rolla to prepare him for what was going to happen, to give him a chance to survive.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
So he gave him hallucinogens to a guy that's sick in bed.
Yeah. Excellent.
Rolla berserker.
Would you like some Mickey fuck berserker?
Did he just say Mickey fuck?
So next we have a meeting. They are discussing what they should do next. Bjorn suggests, and Bjorn's taken over a lot of the discussion here, which, you know, he's getting some leadership practice in. But he says they will claim their land from Ekbert, and those who do not want to farm can fight for Merry Moon. King Horik does not trust Ekbert. And then Elendur, who's kind of becoming his own little man there, suggests that maybe they should, you know, test Ekbert and see if he is worthy of trust first. And then Athelstan says he believes that Ekbert is telling the truth. Lagertha says she agrees with Bjorn or Ragnar's, you know, agenda, but she also thinks that those who still want to raid and discover new lands should be able to do so. And it's, I thought Ragnar, when she started to speak, he was just kind of like,
well, you know. So he still hasn't come to terms yet.
Is he still not completely comfortable with her position as being equal to his?
I don't know. I mean, I could have misread that look. I wish I could describe it in words because I know it didn't carry over. But if you go back and watch it, you can see how he kind of acts when she talks. It's kind of funny. So Floki visits Rolla, which we've already talked about. It's in question if Rolla will ever walk again. And Floki tells Siggy to take a break and that he will watch Rolla for a bit. Floki asks Rolla if he remembers that he put Floki in a bed like this once.
Selling it.
And he forces Rolla to eat the food of the gods. So at the evening feast, Floki employs Ube to give Torstein a gift. And this is where they're really, like, hammering it hard in that Floki's a bastard.
Yeah.
Floki threatens Ube in order for him to be quiet. Torstein eats the mushrooms.
That little kid just looks stunned. I would, too. I'd just be like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Don't tell me anything. I'm running.
I had a babysitter tell me... She told me to go take a nap, and she told me if I were to move, these spikes would come down from the ceiling and kill me. And I did not sleep. I just laid there and, like, stayed like that the whole time.
Did you ever tell your parents this?
Later, years later. a lot came out about that babysitter years later.
Oh, my God.
She was insane. She had to swim in a pool with a freaking electric fan right next to it to create waves.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. I'm going to go smoke some crack. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or better yet, I'm just going to leave. I'll see you kids later.
I know.
Don't knock the fan in. I'll make some toast, too. God.
So next we cut to Torstein laid out and appearing dead from poison. And then Floki threatens vengeance. He's just trying to play it off.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was sold.
So King Horik and Floki meet. King Horik tells Floki that he has done well. Floki asks, what is next? King Horik says he will kill them all. Heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And he sets Floki the task of killing Bjorn, because Bjorn is hard to kill.
He says, I know you can manage.
And it begins to rain, and then Floki goes out and stands in the rain, looking like he's crying black tears.
Your mascara is running.
Yeah.
Lagertha is on the beach watching the incoming storm. Aslaug stands with her. Aslaug says, the gods are coming. Lagertha says, I know. God's visited us recently, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that storm was hell.
So Bjorn seeks out Thorin in the marketplace. He wants forgiveness of what he said about other ladies. He wants to worship her.
He's learning. Sometimes you just have to apologize, even if you don't know what the fuck's going on.
I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. That's love.
She wants respect, and she asks him to fight her. And then Floki watches from a distance. He's putting that axe into his belt, making you think he's got murderous thoughts. So Rollo is getting himself up out of bed as best as he can at this point. He falls, frustrated. Siggy tells him not to give up. He asks her, why does she care? She says she truly does not know why she cares, but she thinks he still may be useful. And he says, to whom? She puts his axe in his line of vision. And I think she's made up her decision. She's still trying to help him. She didn't give a fuck about him. You know, I don't think she would be motivating him to get up out of that bed.
See, I think Siggy just sees options everywhere. You know, so...
She's trying to keep all the back burners blazing.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean,
she's going to go in the direction that's going to best suit her.
In the previously on, they make it a point to show you when she was with the Seer at the beginning of the season where she said, I want to be an Earl's wife again. I want to have power. I want to be queen.
And she's done things to – I mean, I just don't know. It's hard to tell. I'd like to see what the director says about whether or not she was working with Ragnar or the King Horik. You know,
and when the decision was made. To because switch. I think we can safely assume at some point that she was earnestly working with Horik.
Maybe, but, you know, I don't think she...
Not necessarily in this episode. Mm-mm. I'm just saying in some point in the past.
He's revealed himself to be full of shit probably a couple of times. One I can really think of is when he claimed they were equals, he and Lagertha, and then later he says, we're not equals to Ragnar. And so there's probably been other moments like that where he's gone back on something he said, and so maybe... You know, when she and Horik meet in the marketplace, she's just like, you're not going to fucking marry me. It's probably what she's thinking. You're full of shit.
Yeah, that's
possibly,
a good point.
But
yeah.
I'm trying to have – I want to think that she's turning a leaf.
Hoping.
And she's done that without
– Either way, just the fact that we're having this conversation and kind of throwing back and forth different ideas shows that the show really did its job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
So, I mean, we've already addressed the market encounter. She's initially abrasive to King Horik, but he wants to know Ragnar's weakness still. And she's like, it's obvious, you dickhead. It's children.
Yeah.
And then he, like I said, he promises marriage if she kills Ragnar's children. And he gives her a blade before departing. So Bjorn and Thorin fight, and then she runs off. Bjorn chases her. And yelling that he's sorry. And she waits for him, and then they have some sexy time. And of course, someone's watching.
Yeah, of course.
And it's Floki watching and unsheathing his sword. Touching his sword.
Well, you think at one point they're like, Floki, can you go away, please?
God, I know you're there.
I'm sharpening my sword.
I'm almost done. Just keep going.
Any thoughts on that scene?
You know, he saw his parents do it. Remember, in the first season, he comes in and yells at them, stop fighting! And then they do it, and he goes outside and sits there on the log like, well, they're doing it again, you know? So maybe it's just how he, you know, he probably perceives strong women, and maybe it's just kind of like foreplay. Plus, I mean, he turns that corner, and she had the look on of, what's up?
Yeah, like fighting the way time's fight over.
Well, it also could have looked like that she lured him there for Floki, too, I thought.
I didn't think about that.
So King Horik is showing Elendur the Sword of Kings, and King Horik talks of why they need to kill Ragnar's family. And we have on our Twitter, I think it was Briskier, who asked if it's a Ulfbert sword.
It looked like it.
Yeah, but isn't the Ulfbert have a little bit more flexibility? Like, it didn't seem to have that flexibility that you...
It was the runes on the bottom of the handle going up it that made me think about it.
The bottom of the shaft of the sword.
And the pommel and everything looked right. I don't know if it if it was flimsy or not. I remember it being like a sword that it could break other ones.
You know? But it was super flexible. I remember it was flexible. Like really like more flexible than. I mean, not as flexible as a fencing sword.
I mean, it could be. What sword is this you're talking about?
It's a sword that there was very few of them, actually, but they've been found, and they were superior to any other sword.
The way that the steel was made?
Yeah, they could break other – because other swords, because they didn't have – you had to get the temperature just right. We both watched that same documentary.
Yeah, it was a documentary on Netflix.
Netflix.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. So
it looked like it to me.
Yeah, it probably is, but it didn't seem – I mean, of course, like the way everybody was holding it, it didn't have the opportunity to really reveal the flexibility.
Yeah, and the actual runes themselves. We got like a quick glance at the runes.
Right.
And it was a badass looking sword.
I don't remember the runes. The guy who actually recreated the sword, he put it in English on his. Yeah. So
I think it was in English on the sword too.
The original sword?
Yeah, I think so.
The one they found?
So I don't know. We're just going to have to rewatch.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on.
He gives the sword to his son.
Yes, King Horik is showing this possible Ulfbert sword to Elendur. It is the Sword of Kings. King Horik talks of why they need to kill Ragnar's family, and that's very important because that comes back later.
Dope.
So Athelstan and Ragnar pray together.
This is when I knew something was going to happen. Because it's just random. If everything was fine in Ragnar's world, why would he be praying to either of the gods? You know, and for him to be out in the woods in a very Christian looking scene itself, even with the waterfall in the background.
Why is that Christian?
Just the way that it looked. When you see like pictures of Jesus and stuff, it's always in like a peaceful setting. You know, it just looked like a Christian backdrop, everything. When the rest of the time, like with the Vikings and the villages and stuff, you see the water. It's a little more gruffer. Even the filter I think they use on the camera scene looks a little darker. In that scene, it didn't look like any filter. The green was popping. It was a really peaceful scene for me.
It's interesting.
But I knew something bad was going to happen after that. It was like, all right, shit's going down because, you know, he's praying. He knows what's going to happen.
You could look at it, too, as kind of a bonding between the two of them. Because, I mean, he took Athelstan over against his will and kind of indoctrinated him into his own society and culture and stuff like that. And now he's kind of doing a little quid pro quo and saying, tell me your prayer. You know, show me how you pray.
He's lucky Floki wasn't in the bushes watching because that motherfucker would have come out doing a cartwheel. I knew it! I knew it!
Doing a little dance.
Two-timey bastard!
You will take it back.
Well, what do you think about, like, Ragnar getting up quickly and not trying to finish
He felt uncomfortable.
He got cold feet at the end of it, you know. It's one thing to say some words, but it's another thing to kind of finish it with the amen. Because even though you might not understand the religious and cultural significance of that being a Viking, you know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably an inherent understanding that when you finish it like that, you can't take it back. It's kind of like clicking the send button on an email, you know. It's done.
So, yeah, so stuff's being spliced into this Lord's Prayer that they're saying. We got King Horik's force arriving on the bank. Aslaug trustingly allows Sigi to take her kids to safety. Gunnhild dresses for battle. King Horik and his men begin to make their way into Kattegat now, and they start to kill some of the guards.
Which, I felt bad for the guards. Once I found out for sure that Ragnar knew...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
You know, he's like, Brian and Jake, can you guys go and check the lines for me real quick?
Yeah.
Because they're just like, derp-a-derp, dead.
So these guys were basically, he was willing to sacrifice these red shirts to give the impression that he was being taken unawares. But he wasn't, because after a few more little skirmishes, you see Lagertha and some shield maidens walking through with a deadly purpose.
I don't think it was shield maidens behind her. It was men.
Oh, they were the weakest link in the group. They're like, who can't fight? Who sucks and is annoying? Those two. And those two. You're on guard duty tonight. We're never on guard duty. Tonight you are.
Switching up the roster.
They give them like dull swords. Like, we need these sharp ones. You guys go ahead. Poor bastards.
They send him out without dinner, too. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Eat when you get back.
It's like that.
Well, it's true,
it's what happened. I mean,
everybody else knew but those four guys.
Yeah.
sick of kicking rocks. I'm sick of this job.
Talk about being kept out of the loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
that's someone's son.
There's levels to it. So it could have been them, or you could have been Rollo. So
true.
Speaking of Rollo, he can hear the slaughter, and men come try to kill him, but he's got that berserker juice in his veins.
I wish they
would have
shown it, though.
I know. I wish they would have shown more, but it was still pretty badass that he was up fighting.
Like door fighting, you know, on his knees.
So Athelstan has taken up arms and is fighting.
He's muttering a few of the lines of the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. too, to get himself psyched up.
Deliver us from evil, is what he says.
Well, he's like a fighting monk. It's awesome. I mean, I still consider him a monk at this point, you know.
Can make a D&D character based on
Oh,
him.
Yeah, yeah. All these characters. You can
he's
make
a
D&D
monk with
characters.
The expanded horizons.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
He's hip.
As you said, Lagertha's on the prowl, and then she ends up fighting Gunnhild.
Which was a really cool fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Lagertha kills her.
Yeah, I mean.
Without remorse. I mean, she looked her in the eye and everything.
I mean, her and Ragnar were probably the best match because they're both tough as nails.
Bjorn is almost ambushed. Floki is also there. We find out the truth of Floki here, I think, if you're willing to believe it.
Yeah.
At this point. I guess you could be like, oh, shit, he's taking Bjorn somewhere. What's he going to do with him?
Well, I knew once that scene passed that we were okay, because that would have been the time that, you know, they would have shown the silhouette of Floki's axe mm-hmm. coming up to go for
right.
his back, and they didn't, so.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, how else would they have known that the fight was on, you know?
Yeah.
Lagertha is told to leave King Horik's place.
Do you think she was going to kill those kids?
I think she didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't think she wanted him to. I thought she saw them as innocent casualties. Like,
yeah, I think she left begrudgingly, you know, yeah. knowing what was going to mm-hmm. happen. She didn't.
These are women and children. They don't need to die because of, you know,
well,
what's going on.
Well, it's the whole, it's just like King Horik had said. One of them grows up, they've got a claim to the throne. That's how that stuff was done back then, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And he put it out there first, really. You know, it's kind of eye for an eye on the simple fact that he was willing to slaughter Ragnar's kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was on Ragnar's orders.
Even little baby boneless.
Got no bones.
So King Horik bursts into the hall where a cloaked figure awaits. You probably think it's Ragnar at first.
I did.
Yeah, but it's DJ Torstein.
Work.
Surprise.
Alive and well.
Horik knows he has been had at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Some of his men are then killed. Floki enters. Horik tells him he has betrayed the gods. Floki says, no, I only betrayed you.
Bitch.
And that he has always been true to the gods and Ragnar.
Oof.
King Horik asks Ragnar to spare his son, Ragnar's weakness. So King Horik still plays off of Ragnar's weakness, and he gets what he wants here. His son is going to live, and that's probably not a good thing, because they've already alluded to something. Was it last episode or the episode before with the swords when they were in England?
When you leave something unfinished.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in this episode, you said if you leave one member of the family
alive.
We just
yeah.
talked about it a second ago.
Yes.
But, you know, so that's what's happening. But honestly, you don't see him get killed, so you can safely assume that he wasn't killed.
They wouldn't have bothered giving him that line at the meeting about him suggesting to test Ekbert to see if he proves his trust, unless they're going to have more for him later, I believe.
Mm. You're probably right, yeah. But this show surprises me constantly. I wouldn't be surprised at all if next year with the season opener has his head on a spike next
yeah.
to a
yeah.
fire somewhere, you know.
Well, next time they need two guys to go walking in the woods, it's probably going to be him.
Well,
he's going to get put on perpetual guard duty.
Bjorn, Bjorn, what we'll say here, like he allows his sisters to run off.
Mm-hmm.
The seer said Bjorn's going to marry a king's daughter. Thorin's not mm-hmm. a king's daughter. I don't, you know, there could still be something that comes out of that. So.
True. Yeah. I'm assuming he's not dead, but.
Yeah, I think there'll be more to him.
He could be married to multiple women
mm-hmm.
yeah.
at the same time.
He could be.
Ragnar tried it, and King Horik was talking about it.
So, okay, let's finish with this awesome scene, because. So, Horik resignedly throws down his shield, starts walking towards Ragnar. And they all take turns hacking into him.
Yeah, I don't get the cheap shots. I mean, is it to make sure he can't do anything
like
when it gets to Ragnar?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's exactly what I thought. It was a gauntlet. I think it's it's a way for King Horik, who's been, he's been a formidable character the whole time he's been on screen. It's a way for him to die with some dignity, because that takes some fucking guts.
It does.
Keep walking towards your executioner and to take these hits unanswered.
Maybe
no
because
weapons.
He did a lot of bad things to them too. It's kind of their way to get their
just due. Everybody gets a hit in, but they leave the final. Yeah, he doesn't.
He just kind of taps him on the shoulder.
I think
it would have been great if he just kissed
his
him.
Cheek, actually.
Yeah.
And just looks at him. So.
I wonder what that's about.
At I think probably just his betrayal was a blow enough. Yeah. You know?
Well, plus he knows it's better than getting blood eagled. I mean, fuck, anything's better than that.
And then Siggy just gives the blade that was given to her to Ragnar, and that's her. In a way, they...
Redemption.
Yeah, it was kind of... That was their...
It's her redemption and her strike against him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your promise to me to be a queen doesn't mean as much as my loyalty to these people.
Or you just showing, okay, Lagertha...
Or she realizes Ragnar's stronger.
Lagertha, Bjorn, and Thorstein, their strength is in their fighting, and you've got Floki's loyalty is his strength, and you've got Siggy's manipulation. And so both of them, all of them use their weapons against Horik then and there.
That is good. I like that. Yeah, that fits perfectly. That. Because you're right, everybody does what they're best suited to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know.
And that's why the writers, or Michael Hurst, is awesome.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
This scene was like visual poetry, because after everybody does that, it's almost like they're disappearing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going out until it's just the two of them left in that room.
Yeah. Actually, the way it was done, it reminds me of something you would see on a theatrical stage, like more so the way people. Yeah.
I guess that's what I was trying to grasp it. Like, it reminded me of something, and it's like right at the edge of my mind, but I couldn't put words to it. Yeah. But that's a good way to put it. They're like exiting stages.
Or parts of the stage would start to darken a little bit, you know, like, as people are exiting or. You know.
Maybe two and then spotlights.
The spotlights just come on them.
Yeah.
I do like the way he killed him eventually, headbutt to death.
Which, I, you know, the first time I saw, I was like, man, like a headbutt seems like a last resort move you would do to somebody.
Oh, no.
But
if you do it right, if you do it right, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The headbutts, if you can do them right, are vicious. Trust me.
So Ragnar seems like this scene seems like he's going to kill him with some sort of like solemn, almost respect, you know, even though he's using his own knife. And then he just goes berserker on him. He just starts headbutting him over and over.
And I like it when he starts yelling, because throughout these last few episodes, he's been very patient and holding back. Anytime King Horik would do something stupid, you'd see it on his face like, God, I'm fucking sick of this guy.
Yeah.
Shit. So he held it in and held it in and held it in. And then finally, he could just unleash all the, you know, everything he's held in on that last scene. And it's great. When he yelled at him, it was just like, that's fucking awesome.
And that was his only vocal enunciations this whole episode. That's so great. He didn't have any lines.
His hair looked cool with the headbutting, too.
Yeah.
Can
like
you,
a scorpion.
I think they made him do it twice. Can you scream a second time?
Take 25.
Line.
There's going to be fan videos on YouTube with some like really good metal playing in the background while he's doing that. And they're just going to loop it so it looks like he's headbanging, you know.
Bang, bang. With blood. That's great.
So there's a transition scene, but he sits down onto his Earl chair. He's rather shaky, and then it transitions to he's outside on a cliff looking kingly with sword in hand.
The northern part of the Alps, maybe?
I don't know, but he looks like King Conan.
Mm-hmm. At
the
end
of the Conan movies.
Do the Alps go up into Scandinavia?
Yeah, it goes all the way up Europe. It doesn't mean that he stayed in Scandinavia. We know Ragnar's traveling. It looked like
but
the Alps to me.
There's water that separates Norway from the main continent. So, I mean, you can still consider that the same mountain range, even though
I think
the
Alps
water,
goes
like
all
Baltic
the way up.
The Baltic separates them. Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. It made me think of the Alps.
I don't know.
I was just wondering. I don't know.
It made me wonder if he's looking over
like
a vista
fjord.
Of land that he's about to conquer.
Well, he's gone east. He's gone west. South. I mean, south.
Well, they did mention, King Horik did mention that there's other lands that they want to, you know, multiple other lands.
Well, Lagertha even said if they discover new lands. So.
Yeah.
It was cool, and it did. I was like you. The first thing I thought was Conan. What is the riddle of steel, Ragnar?
The... this was just such an awesome episode. The only way that they could have ended it better is when they cut the plaque. They just play Led Zeppelin Immigrant Song.
Oh, it would have been great.
Our listener, Bill Bradbury, made a fan video using the opening credits sequence, and he put that to Nine Inch Nails cover of the Immigrant Song.
Oh, nice.
That was Nine Inch Nails covering that?
Yep.
I thought that was a female voice, though.
Had Karen O from the Yeah 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 singing.
Oh, okay.
So I shouldn't say Nine Inch Nails. It was Trent Reznor covered it.
It is pretty cool. We should watch it after we do the cast.
Awesome.
Yeah, good job, Bill Bradbury. So speaking of our listeners, we'll go ahead and get into feedback real quick. So Briskier said, Clive Sandin, or he wrote to Clive Sandin, made me stand up by myself and fist pump. Hashtag Vikings finale, hashtag epic.
Well, hopefully nobody was around while he fist pumped. Everybody was in a safe distance. No need to punch anybody by accident.
He also wrote, hashtag Floki goes Loki. I woke up my kid. I woke up my kids because I was cheering. He said, 2015 is too long. I'm not crying. It's just my black eyeliner down my face.
Oh, well put.
Mike Spa wrote, everything others want and strive for, Ragnar gets. Hashtag Vikings finale. All hail King Ragnar. And Briskier said, totally, Ragnar got his Ulfbert. I was hoping they would bust that sword out. So,
yeah, Ulfbert.
Thinking Mike Spa's not too keen on Ragnar here. Is that what you guys think?
Yeah, like what everybody else wants, he gets.
Yeah.
Kind of like
I mean, there's been kind of talk about that already in the show. I mean, it could still be something going on next.
A point of contention in further seasons.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Ragnar's just a master strategist.
He doesn't even have to talk and shit just happens the way he wants
to. Because he has his pieces in place. He doesn't have to talk. You know, he's a good king. He knows how to handle people. He knows how to lead, and he knows how to put strategy down to where it comes to fruition. I mean, it's impressive.
And he's a farmer. Yep.
So any speculation? We've already kind of talked about the idea of them possibly going south, as you mentioned, Paul. So any other speculation?
Ragnar's going to kill someone.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know.
Well, they tied up the story of King Horik. Mm-hmm. Obviously, his son's going to become an issue at some point in the future. We don't know.
And who takes over Kattegat? Rollo? Yeah. His son?
Because, I mean, if he's going to be king, he's going to have to move somewhere else. You're not going to make the capital Kattegat.
And is Rollo going to be okay with someone else running Kattegat? I think Rollo's earned it. I think he's got the respect of the town. But does his son, is he okay with it? Because, I mean, I don't know if I would be okay with it. My uncle takes it over, but it's really kind of up to his son to do it. Is Siggy going to be all right with it? I mean,
maybe that's why she knew that she could trust Ragnar. Maybe he promised that to her. Like, I'll make Rollo Earl. You'll be his girl.
I don't know if he would even have to go that route with her. If she just knew that Ragnar knew that she was doing that. I don't think Ragnar's the type that would promise her anything other than I'm not going to smash her face in. Exactly.
So that's why I think she was working for him the whole time.
Yeah, but I don't think the whole time. I really don't. I think that episode where he's standing behind the fence watching everybody party, I think that's when he figured it out and confronted her and was like, look, I'm going to get Floki involved. Because that's the same episode right after that is when Floki started doing his stuff.
Whatever plans were put in play around that time. And they kept it off screen to keep us off balance.
They kept us out of the loop.
Yeah. Bastards. Yeah. We're the ones that didn't.
We're the ones out of the loop.
We were not in the Burns family circle of trust this whole time.
It's awesome. I like the speculation. Yeah. So
I don't have too much speculation. I want to save like what little I might have for the bonus podcast because it's the end of the season. Yeah. So if we had another episode coming up, it would be like, okay, this is what I think is going to happen directly after this.
Have you guys accepted his Auslaug? Are you okay with it now? I am personally. I'm all right with Auslaug.
Yeah, just that. That's it. Like I don't feel about her the way I do about Lagertha or even Mary Moon for that matter.
No, I'm more. Yeah, that's true.
This is all bonus.
Yeah, okay. We should cut this
okay,
out.
We're going to just wait till bonus to talk about this. All right, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for all of our listeners this season who have contributed to our feedback section. You guys are awesome. I hope you stick around. We're actually going to podcast on season one, but first we're going to do a bonus podcast, which will
just us talking.
Just us talking, just to – this is what we like to do when we podcast. We like to summarize everything we see and play a little game. Mm-hmm. So we'll post that next week. And then after that, we'll start posting episodes for season one.
Mm-hmm. And we'll stay on Twitter and all of our sites. So if we do anything else, we'll let people know. And if anybody has any ideas, you know, maybe another show, you know, just bring it up. Maybe we'll do it.
Yeah. Yes, please. If there's any shows that you guys are interested in and that are coming up this summer or in the fall, write us in. Tell us why you think you would want to hear us do it, other than Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we're not doing Game of Thrones. So
My Little Pony.
Just kind of,
we're going to be bronies.
Bronies.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, and we'll see you or talk at you next week. I'm your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.